morning I'll be reading from Hebrews chapter 12, starting at verse 1. He stands for the reading of God's word. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. Let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinners, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
You may be seated. I shared my apologies to Rachel Clayton. I stole her chair for Sunday school class. But many of y'all know why. It's a chair that was occupied by our dear sister, Dot Brewer, nearly every Wednesday evening for prayer and Bible study. And I have this chair in the sanctuary to remind us of her presence, that she continues to be a member of Mount Hermon Baptist Church, and the church triumphant, and that the saints who have gone on, though we may be separated in one way, we are still one church, because we belong to one Lord. I wanted to share another story, because Dot, she holds a prominent place in that she is the only person at Mount Hermon whose car I've ever hit. It was on a Sunday, I was tired after a long day. She had parked the car in the parking lot and gone to lunch with other members. I think I dropped off Mike from lunch and I was backing up. I just told him I was dead tired. And I backed up and I hit her bumper. But at first I didn't know whose car I hit. And so Mike put the fear of God in me and he said, "Oh no, now you did it. You hit Dot's car. You should have hit someone else's." And I was just terrified. And I felt terrible too. I mean, the shepherd of God's people hitting their cars. So I waited until she was home. I kept looking out to see if the car was still there. Finally, it was gone. I called her at home and she answered and I said, "Dot, I have some bad news. I saw somebody hit your car." Can't wait to see us mess up and punish us. But this passage is actually to serve as an encouragement to the people of God. This whole letter to the Hebrews was written to a church that really was in need of some encouragement. And so the author of Hebrews writes this chapter and paints a picture of running a race surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses. Perhaps the cloud of witnesses, instead of looking for this runner to trip, to cheer this runner on. This letter was written during the Roman Empire. And at the heart of the Roman Empire was the city of Rome. And at the heart of the city of Rome was a Colosseum. Much like Americans, Romans loved to entertain themselves. They didn't play American football or baseball. They played other sports, but they had stadiums. And the greatest of all the stadiums at the time was the Colosseum. This was a marvel. This was a marvel. It still stands, partly, in Rome. And in this Colosseum, they would do all sorts of activities as thousands were entertained and they witnessed these activities. Some of them were races, so they would run, see who could run the race. And so this picture in Hebrews, you can imagine this Colosseum filled with the saints from thousands of years, millions of Christians from every nation, not just the nations that exist today, but the nations that are long gone, all witnessing us running the race and cheering us on, wanting us, as if we are running in the Olympics and all of our fellow compatriots of America are cheering us on to win, finish this race, and to do well. This is the image that the author of Hebrews is alluding to in the first century, a great and glorious cloud of witnesses cheering us on. It also reminds us that the church is one. The church is one. It's not just those who are running the race, and it's not just those who have run the race, but we are together celebrating and striving. Often the church is described into two parts. The church militant, which is us here today, those who are continuing to fight the good fight with the weapons of faith, hope, and love here on this earth. And then the other part of the church triumphant. We've sung it this morning, the church triumphant in several of our hymns. These are our brothers and sisters who have fought the good fight and are triumphantly celebrating and cheering us on in heaven with our Lord and Savior, who has shown us all how to run the race. This is the church militant, the church triumphant, the one church with the one Lord. There's a third way of understanding this passage, and I think it can help us understand in its context what Hebrews is trying to tell us today and our brothers and sisters 2,000 years ago. And it's not only that these saints are witnessing us running the race, but they have been a witness for us in how to run the race. They've been examples, like Paul writing to Timothy, knowing that the end is near and that he has fought the good fight, that he has finished the race, and he has kept the faith. And he's fought the good fight, and he's finished the race, and he's kept the faith. That Paul now becomes a witness for us to follow. Just like when we go and we witness for Christ, we are proclaiming something to those He has changed us. We are witnessing for Christ, and we're calling others to come and follow. The saints of old are witnesses for us. They are a great cloud of witnesses for us to follow. Hebrews, again, was written to a community in doubt. They started tasting the very beginnings of persecution. They started tasting the beginnings of martyrdom. And also in that Colosseum where people were running races, there were Christians who were fighting for their lives, being killed by gladiators and lions. And a lot of these Christians were scared. They were counting the cost and they were realizing, wow, Christianity requires my life. And I just don't know if I want to keep going. So Hebrews is written for them to keep going, to keep running the race, to keep fighting the good fight. And so the previous chapter, Hebrews 11, the whole chapter is about those saints who have run the race, who have fought the good fight. Example after example, Abraham and Sarah, Samson, Daniel, and of those who are not named, like Isaiah, who lost their lives. Some of them were rescued by God as they kept the faith, and some of them were not. Some of them suffer martyrdom, but were glorified because of it. Because, not because they were able to save their neck, but because they were able to continue in the faith, even through the toughest times. And so Hebrews 12 comes. In light of all of these examples, in light of the great cloud of witnesses, you are to keep the faith as well. Consider him, Jesus, who endured such opposition from sinners. Consider all these others who endured such opposition from sinners, so that what? So that you will not grow weary and lose heart. Let us run the race with perseverance marked out for us. We do this sometimes with loved ones. Sometimes we gather them together in an album, and when we open the album, we are reminded of the lives of our family members and reminded that, you know, they lived good lives, and I want to follow those examples. Sometimes we have a hall in our house. Any of y'all have a hall with photographs down the hall? Every time we walk down this hall, we are reminded of those who come before us and their example. And it's a good reminder. Every time you walk down that hall, to remind you to fight the good fight and finish the race. We got a hall kind of like that at Mount Vernon. One of our saints, Francis Doherty, cajoled me into joining it. It's the Hall of Pastors. Now, we all had our faults, but I would hope that if we walk down that hall with photographs of our pastors from the past, it can encourage us. Say, I want to live for Christ like these people taught me how to live, with their words and with their examples. And I hope I could be one of those saints that can be a witness. We also collect the stories of our saints, sometimes in books, like the Book of Martyrs, to remind us of the example that they left. One of the saints from Great Britain years ago, his name is G.K. Chesterton. He wrote a book on orthodoxy, and he spent some time talking about how we are one church. And it's not just us here on earth, but those in heaven are a part of it. And he coined the phrase, the democracy of the dead. The democracy of the dead. And that's especially important for us as Baptists, because we believe that every person should have a voice. Every voice is weighed, and every voice is heard, as Jesus speaks to each and every one of us. Doesn't just speak to me, speaks to each and every one of us. And that's true about the church triumphant as well. They also have a voice in the church, and hopefully at Mount Hermon. How do those who have passed on continue to have a voice amongst us? Well, sometimes it's the stories that we tell each other of how this person or that person responded in the situation. Sometimes it's things that they've written. Sometimes it's our memories of them, our collective memories, as we tell these stories. For the saints that have gone on many years before us, there are certainly books, theology books, autobiographies, memoirs. They continue to speak to us as we read them and honor the voices of those. How about our hymn books? Our hymn books. Who wrote the hymns that we sang this morning? The saints. And we collect them. And we put their words in our mouths. And we give them voice as they continue to praise God through our mouths, through our voices. They continue to have a voice. All Saints Day, coming on November 1st, is a day when the church all around the world remembers those that have gone on before us. It reminds us, that All Saints Day reminds us of those who have been faithful, reminds us of that we can follow in that faithfulness, and also reminds us that we are one family, and we are together in this working. One thing that we do to also remind us, and especially on All Saints Day, is the Lord's Supper. This table behind me is, in one way, one of many, many, many tables around the world where the Lord's Supper is held. But in another way, it's a little corner of a big table that is spread around the world. And a table that spreads not just geographically around the world, but it spreads out through time, through the past, where saints have gathered at the table and have communed together. And so we will be coming together at this table, and we will, as a small church, commune around this table. But we will also be communing with the saints from the past and the saints around the world together on this glorious Sunday. Remember that. The table brings us together as one, because the one who calls us is the one Lord of all of us. I receive from the Lord, I pass on to you that the night that Jesus Christ was betrayed, he took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it, and he said, "This is my body,
to you. Keep this in remembrance of me. And likewise, after the dinner, he took the cup and he said, "This is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." And that is what we will be doing this morning. After I pass out the elements to the deacons, I'll invite you to come forward down the center aisle, and you can partake of the bread and the cup right here. And then once you're finished, you can return to your seats using the outer aisle. If any of you are unable to come to the table, just raise your hand and I will come to you. Let us pray. Lord God, we thank you for the many gifts that you give us. We thank you for this table, a sign of our reconciliation, a witness to the world that reconciliation is possible and reconciliation is glorious, that we indeed are one. May we be one, just like, oh God, you are one with your Son. Lord, we ask that you test our hearts before we come to this table. Prepare us for the sacred act. And may you remind us, Lord, of our connection to one another, but also our connection to all those who have gathered at the table. We pray this in Jesus' name. gave himself to us, body, soul, and spirit. Can we give any less? Can we give any less to him? Please bow your hearts with me. Oh Lord God, we commit, recommit ourselves to you, body, soul, and spirit. Lord, we pray that when persecution comes, hurt will come, for no servant is greater than your master. Whether it comes today or tomorrow, that we may stand and be faithful like the saints of old. When we stand, when we fight the good fight, when we finish the race, when we keep the faith. We pray this by the power of the Holy Spirit and in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. If you have a decision to make this morning, whether it is to commit your life to Christ for the first time, to recommit it, or to join Mount Hermon as a church here witnessing to the world, or any other decision you'd like to make, I encourage you to come forward during this last hymn of invitation.